Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, great to have you with us. It's a delightful story, beautifully illustrated, the children's book, White House Mockingbird, the heartwarming story of Dick the Mockingbird, who really did live in the White House during President Jefferson's time in office. He had a cage and a special place in the study, and witnessed history in the newly reconstructed White House during Jefferson's presidency in the early 1800s. White House Mockingbird is written and illustrated by Richard Adler, a history buff and avid reader of history and biographies, a graduate of the University of California. A self-taught artist, he created art during his high school and college years. It was pushed aside when he pursued a degree or a career in insurance and raising a family. The passion was renewed when he did a painting for his father-in-law's 80th birthday. Some of his art, by the way, exhibited at the George Krefsky Gallery in San Francisco. Richard Adler, author and illustrator of White House Mockingbird, is our guest on This Week in America. Richard, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Rick. Great introduction. I appreciate that.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here. What a delightful story. And talk about the decision to publish this as an illustrated children's book, not write a novel or do a painting about Dick the Mockingbird, but do the illustrated children's book. How did you arrive at that decision?
Well, you know, I had thought about doing something like Ben and Me, which is the famous Robert Lawson book about the mouse that supposedly Benjamin Franklin lived with, who gave Benjamin Franklin all his ideas and made him a great man. But I thought, you know, I would rather focus more on a combination of a shorter story with lots of illustrations, colorful watercolor illustrations. I have 22 in the book. And I wanted the reader to be able to see, for instance, how Dick ended up arriving in the White House, how he had fallen out of his nest at Jefferson's children's house. They nursed him to health. I wanted to show him getting fed with a water dropper and then on his way by wagon to Washington, and of course seeing what Washington looked like in 1803, where you had just one wing of the Congress, the Senate wing was being built. And there was a lot of, it was a new city, absolutely brand new city, and weren't very many people living there. There was only 3,000 people in 1800. So I wanted to take the reader into the White House, show the scaffolding, where there was an issue with the plaster falling in on the East Room. And of course, I combined Dick into that whole story.
You know, it's interesting because history really comes to life. I'm looking at one review. A gentleman bought the book for his 10-year-old. The gentleman read the book first, was so interested, he went and looked up some of the events that happened that you talk about in the book White House Mockingbird. And it's interesting, too, that you basically got the information in Jefferson's own handwriting. I understand you had a chance to see his log and some of his stories of him and Dick.
Yeah, I did. I was fortunate enough to meet the curator at Monticello. He showed me Jefferson's log book where he had had the inscription of acquiring the Mockingbird. But really the idea, the genesis of this whole thing came from the fact that I like to read biographies about our founding fathers. And I was reading a passage about describing what Jefferson's office looked like and it was written by Margaret Bayer Smith, who was a kind of a social person who was a good friend of Jefferson. So she went into Jefferson's office, which was also a library, and she saw Dick the Mockingbird kind of nestled in the window recesses between geraniums and a rose bush. And she noted that a lot of times when Jefferson would be alone, he would just open up the latch of the cage and let Dick the Mockingbird fly around the office, which is kind of a cavernous place because it's now the dining room of the White House. So, and it was interesting because Dick the Mockingbird would, you know, fly around, then he would land back at Jefferson's table where he spent a lot of his day doing business, and it would sing to him, it would hop up on Jefferson's shoulder and take food from his lips. So that was, you know, when I read that, I thought this is a great way to maybe tell kids about what it was like to be in the White House. The other interesting incident that happened every day was Dick would hop up the stairs behind the president. He would often take a nap, and he would hop up the stairs and, you know, perch on his couch. And then at night he would go up and perch on his headboard and often sing him to sleep. So I thought, wow, that's kind of an interesting tidbit about our president that I didn't know about.
Yeah, he really was a special pet. What we're talking about is the book White House Mockingbird, story and illustrated by Richard Adler, our guest on the program. His website, by the way, is richardadler.net. That's A-D-L-E-R. Books available, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. You can log on to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to Richard's website. Get information on the book. Be able to order it there as well. I mentioned some of the historical events because this really does bring history to life. What are some of the historical events that happened during that era that you write about in the book White House Mockingbird?
Well, you know, initially I just wanted to tell the story of kind of daily life, what it was like, what the president's schedule was like. And he would get up in the morning and he would often be the first one up. He didn't really sleep a lot of long hours. He would get up before the sun and he would put a log in the fire. He would, note the temperature in his logbook, the barometric pressure. And then he would, sometimes take a nap after his work was done in the morning. And then he would go out, ride his horse, Wild Dare, which was a bay colt, a chestnut-colored horse. And, of course, I have Dick watching him go out. And Jefferson, unlike modern presidents, he was able to take his horse out into the country and not really be that noticed. And he was able to look at the soil. He'd take soil samples. He would look at, he would know all the flowers. He would go down to the Potomac. But really, you know, the biggest event that occurred in Jefferson's presidency was the Louisiana Purchase, which doubled the size of our country. And Jefferson's personal secretary was Meriwether Lewis. And Lewis had an office over where the East Room is now, and it was another cavernous room with a piece of canvas that kind of separated his part. But he ended up going with, William Clark on this great trip. And the interesting thing is, because of Jefferson's interest in history and science, biology, wildlife, they would send him boxes of items that they discovered on their westward trek. And these would end up in what Jefferson called his Wilderness Museum. So if you came into the front door of the White House, you would see maps of the United States. You would see fossils on the tables. You'd see an Indian war bonnet. So he liked to show the public what was going on, what the explorers had discovered. So that was something that was very important to him, the westward expansion.
The book is White House Mockingbird, story illustrations by Richard Adler, our guest on the program. As you're reading through this, you get the impression that the Mockingbird, Dick the Mockingbird, really helped the president through some tough times during his administration. Is that overstating it? Because it seems like he was there to sort of calm things down and help him get through some of these difficult times.
You know, Margaret Bayard Smith mentioned that his birds, his flowers, the things that really kind of brought him back to home were a very important part of his life. And Dick really was there all day. I mean, he was in his office flying around. And I think it just made him feel good, made him feel happy. And, of course, I have the grandkids send him. They sent him, Dick, on this harrowing four-day journey to Washington, D.C. And later, his grandchildren do visit him in the White House a couple times, one during an extended period. And, of course, we have a reunion in the White House where they get a chance to see Dick, who has gotten older, and so have the grandchildren. So he was very close to his grandchildren. He wrote them every day. He had 13 grandchildren, although 11 survived into adulthood by his daughter Martha, who he called Patsy. And so he would write them every day and find out how they were doing in their studies and encourage them. So that was also something important to him, his birds, his flowers, and also, of course, his family, his grandkids.
Talk about weaving that aspect of the story, the pets, Dick the Mockingbird, and then taking that along with what was happening during his administration during that time. What was the challenge of incorporating both of those?
Well, I liked the fact that the White House was so new, as I indicated before, that they were putting up plaster in the East Room. And Dick actually did fly around the White House, and I have an incident where they are putting up the plaster, which ends up falling down. And the architect at that time was Henry Benjamin Latrobe. And of course, he saw Dick flying around and thought it wasn't very safe for him to be there. And of course, the president ended up, sending him back to his cage for a while until conditions improved. The other thing was that I put in the book is that there was a social aspect that the presidents before him, Washington and Adams, enjoyed. They had something they called a levee, which is really a social event where prominent people would come. And Jefferson really wasn't his style. And I have a bunch of ladies showing up one day and Jefferson coming back from his ride and not expecting this, and being a little flummoxed by this. And of course, I have Dick kind of rescue him from that situation by doing some imitations, cats and dogs. And eventually he did a squeaking mouse, which one of the women was a little frightened. And of course, all of them ended up clattering out the front door on the, the wooden floor. And of course, Dick was kind of the hero, and Jefferson was happy to see him underneath the tablecloth and kind of helped him get out of a sticky situation.
You mentioned the grandchildren. Why do the grandchildren think it was going to be so lonely in the White House, that it was important for their grandfather to have the Mockingbird there with him?
Well, because they were aware of really how things were going in the White House, because Jefferson would write all the time. He mentioned that he and Meriwether Lewis were like two mice in a big church. They were scampering around these giant rooms, and it was really one of the biggest houses for a long time in the United States, a private, large home until the 1850s. And so that was one of the things. I mean, Jefferson described the house as being so large that two emperors, a pope, and the Grand Lama could all live there with room to spare. So I think that was part of it. He missed his grandchildren.
Well, I like that relationship. Talk about that between the president and his grandchildren.
Well, he really, it was important that they get a good education. He would read to them when he saw them. He really wanted to know how they were doing in their daily life, what classes they were taking. And so that was something that more than anything, he really appreciated seeing development and his grandkids. And he would say something like, well, I'll love you more if you do this, if you study this subject. So I think they knew how important it was for them to do well in the president's eyes.
We're talking about the book White House Mockingbird, story, illustrations by Richard Adler. Our guest on the program, his website is richardadler.net. Book available Amazon, wherever books are sold. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book focuses on Dick the Mockingbird, but there were other pets there as well. Talk about that, because it was quite a few pets that were there.
Yeah, it wasn't just one mockingbird. There were actually four there, although I focused, of course, on Dick the Mockingbird. And he acquired birds that had already been trained to sing. So when Dick arrived, of course, I embellished the story of how he got, how he acquired Dick. But he liked the birds to be able to sing, and they did. They would sing American and Irish and different tunes. But that was probably the most interesting animal that was in the White House, and it's kind of hard to believe, but not only did Lewis and Clark travel to the West, there was a man named Zebulon Pike, where we get the Pike's Peak from. He actually sent back two grizzly bears on horseback to the White House. And of course, when they were young, it was a male and female, they were kind of cute. He would put them in, they were in a cage outside the front door of the White House. And for a while, you know, everybody thought it was interesting, but they got so large, they outgrew their cage.
Yes.
And it became a problem. And he wrote Jefferson wrote his granddaughter Anne that he was going to have to send them to a person he knew in Philadelphia to take care of them. They actually didn't meet a very good end, as it turns out, but I didn't put that in the book.
Just as well. Yeah. But I was picturing the grizzly bears in cages outside the White House as you were describing that. That's an interesting sight.
And his enemies, the Federalists, of course, Jefferson was the first, you know, Democratic Republican, they called that party at that time. But his enemies call it the president's bear garden, gave him a rough time.
I can understand that. That may discourage somebody from the loyal opposition to come by for a friendly chat. You know, it's interesting how presidents from time to time will use pets. Are they used sometimes as a political prop? It's sort of a man of the people because he's a pet lover.
Absolutely. And I think, of course, it makes the president seem like just one of us have pets. I think the most effective use of an animal was FDR. He had his dog Fala. And during the 1944 campaign, a Republican, I guess, opposition had said that he had actually forgotten this Fala dog in the Aleutian Islands and had paid for the Navy to go and get that dog and bring it back, which was totally ridiculous. And FDR gave a great talk about how the Republicans had made up this story and that it was like $1 million, it was 10 million, 15 million to get this dog. And how he didn't mind so much and his wife didn't mind because they've been used to criticism. But Fala really got upset when he heard about this.
You know, you've got an interesting concept here. History through the eyes of presidential pets. Is this the beginning of something? Are you looking into doing a similar story for other presidents?
Well, you know, initially I didn't think so, but there are some really interesting stories. I mean, even, you know, Andrew Jackson had a parrot that would swear a lot because he was hanging around Andrew Jackson, who swore. And they brought this parrot to the funeral of Andrew Jackson. And he ended up, you know, coming out with all these bad words, and they had to remove him from the viewing room. So I thought about that. I thought, yeah, you know, there are a number of interesting stories that would be good for kids to learn about that side of the presidents.
It's a really great way to learn history and be entertained at the same time. With you along this journey in getting the book published and out there has been Reader's Magnet. What has that experience been like for you working with Reader's Magnet?
You know, they've been very good at helping to get, you know, the website ready. They are doing blogs for me, and of course I interact with them on kind of expanding not only about Dick the Mockingbird, but presidential pets and things that were happening during the Jefferson administration with the Embargo Act and things like that. So I really have been impressed by how efficient they have been and how good they have been about getting back to me on various items.
The book we're talking about, White House Mockingbird, the story has been written, illustrated by Richard Adler, our guest on the program. His website is richardadler.net. Book is available at his website. Of course, you'll find it at Amazon, the usual places, and you can go directly to Richard's website, a very well laid out website, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Richard, love the book. Look forward to more books from you. So please continue. I love the presidential pets aspect of it. Excellent job. Beautifully illustrated as well. Thank you for being with us on the program.
My pleasure. It was great talking with you, Rick.
Thank you. White House Mockingbird, written by Richard Adler. Information, of course, at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.